Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
It's a little thing called style. Look it up sometime.
Are you happy now?
What if this is as good as it gets?
I like it!
This makes me happy.
Life is good.
I'm just a little emotional right now.
I don't really know what's good and what's bad within me.
I'm Jim Burns, and I've got an important question for you. Do you have rhythm? Well, I'm not talking about your ability to move in a methodical way to the music. I'm talking about your ability to move in a methodical way through your life. Well, my guest today on Homeward is here to help us learn to develop a sacred rhythm for our lives. She's author and speaker Ruth Haley Barton, and she's back to help us continue to learn how to arrange our lives for spiritual transformation. So get your dancing shoes on and get ready to learn a new rhythm for your life, an eternal rhythm, today on Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert and Azusa Pacific alumnus, Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, not an APU guy yet, but love being in the studios up here. Go to homeward.com and you can learn more about the school because of the many, many different degree programs that they have, so many different ways you can get a good education through APU. Today we're going to get an education from Dr. Ruth Haley Barton, part two of Jim's conversation with Ruth, talking about arranging your life and finding calm in the chaos. This is the type of program that so many of us, present company included, need to hear, and we're grateful to be able to present it for you right now. So without further ado, here's part two, and here's Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today is day two of a great conversation, Arranging Your Life for Spiritual Transformation. Ruth Haley Barton is with us here in studio again. She's a spiritual director, teacher, a retreat leader, a great author. She's written a bestseller called Invitation to Solitude and Silence, as well as a brand new book that we're talking about today, Sacred Rhythms, Arranging Our Lives for Spiritual Transformation. She lives in Wheaton, Illinois with her husband, Chris, and they have three daughters. And I'd mentioned on the program past, because I have three daughters, I really relate to you. Welcome again to our program.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Three daughters. My goodness. And yet you can still write about solitude and
silence. Sometimes I'm coherent.
Anyway, I've learned so much from having my three daughters, really about my faith. Mm-hmm. And it's taxing, and yet it's also the most wonderful part, it seems like. We talked in the last program a little bit about arranging our lives for spiritual transformation when our lives are kind of in a mess and in an upheaval. And it used the word rule of life is important. And we didn't really talk about it last time. What is rule of life?
Well, rule of life is actually ancient language. It's rooted in the ancient tradition that Benedictine was the first one to actually write a rule of life, which was just a simple rhythm for living for the monks that lived together in community. And their rhythm had to do with prayer, work, and study, and a really wonderful balance of those three elements. So a rule of life for today really has the same idea, only we're not living in monasteries, but we still want a way of life that opens us to the presence of God, that helps us to live our lives around those things that matter most to us. I have come to really enjoy the language of rhythms because it's a little bit less heavy-handed, a little bit less rigid. When you think of rhythms, I think almost every rhythm you could think of is very positive in its connotation. You think of the rhythm of the tides, the rhythm of the seasons, the rhythm of your heartbeat or your breathing. We'd be dead without that. The rhythm of a good band and a drum and dancing and music, that rhythm is just a really good thing. And the idea of rhythm is not necessarily to be rigid. You want to learn a few steps so that you can give yourself to the rhythm, say if you're talking about dancing. But eventually the point is to just give yourself over to it and just enjoy it. And that's how I see a rule of life or a rhythm of spiritual disciplines, is that I have to learn a few things, I have to learn some disciplines, but then eventually it becomes so delightful to me and I don't even think that much about it. I just know what it is. I know it works. I know it's beautiful and I give myself to it. And because it is beautiful and creative and it fits my life and my personality, I don't get tired of it. I continue to enjoy the fact that there's something in my life that's this good.
You made a good point. We have to work on it a little bit in terms of learning some of the disciplines. And in the previous program, we talked about solitude and scripture especially. There was also prayer. But the next two components in your book on the rule of life, as we talk about sacred rhythms, are really more external in some ways. One is honoring your body, and I thought that was very fascinating.
Yeah, many people, especially Christian people, have developed a kind of false dualism between the body and the soul, and we think that everything having to do with the soul or the spirit is spiritual, and that stuff having to do with the body is somehow less important. I've come to understand in my own spiritual life that that's not true at all, that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes we don't think about the fact that the temple is really a place of prayer. And so what does it mean for us that the body is a place of prayer, that the body is a place where we're able to meet God? And that has been an idea that's really changed my own relationship with my body. It makes me want to care for my body more carefully because I realize that it is a gift, that it should be a place of beauty. It should be a place where God is speaking to me, that God does speak to me in the deeper places of my being, which includes my body. Makes me want to take care of it. Makes me want to listen to my body because discernment often happens. There'll be a gut sensation that we have or experiences of exhaustion or stress or tension or illness. All of those are bodily ways of God speaking to us and telling us that something is amiss. There's also the delight that comes from enjoying all the wonderful things that we can do in a body. And I think when we don't connect with our bodies in a spiritual way, we miss out on some of the delight that God intended for us by making us embodied beings.
Well, there was a time in your life when you said you came to thinking about this. You were tired, you were lethargic, you were somewhat depressed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Pretty much, I underlined that and went, that describes probably most of our listeners.
Yes.
And yet you had to make some decisions. What kind of decisions did you have to make?
Well, to start to pay attention. And so, to you know, first of all, very, very early on, it was to pay attention to how I was eating, to pay attention to whether or not I was drinking enough water. At the time, I was a young mother. I was in my early 30s. I just had my third child. And I thought I didn't have time to eat right. I thought we were in McDonald's a lot, in the playlands. And so I was eating junk. And I was relying on caffeine for energy. So I wasn't drinking enough water, but I was drinking too many caffeinated beverages. And so that's a very bad cycle to be in because you get the short-term stimulation, but then you usually, your energy falls away after that. I wasn't exercising because I thought I didn't have time, so I was overweight. And there's a lethargy that comes around being overweight. And so there were those kinds of things that needed to be attended to as spiritual issues. And of course, in the story of Elijah from the Bible, we see that an angel came and helped Elijah to take care of his body before he could even get on with the spiritual journey. So there were very concrete early disciplines around caring for the body. Sleep also. We think we can keep going and going and going. We don't realize that we're not the Energizer Bunny. You know, God's the one who never sleeps. We're the ones that need our sleep.
Right.
And many of us yet compromise on the issue of sleep. And many, many accidents and workplace mistakes and all sorts of things, many of the irate behaviors that happen when people get angry, many of those kinds of behaviors come into being because of the fact that we're just tired.
Many spiritual directors would say, before you pray, sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're going to go on a retreat, I know
yes.
You do some wonderful retreats with the Transformation Center, but they would say, you know, before you really get into anything pretty heavy, you're probably going to have to just lay down flat and rest.
Yeah. In fact, that's what we do first on our retreats. We always start in the evening, and we always start by giving people very concrete teaching and ideas about their resting. And even as concrete as when you lay your head on the pillow, realize that it's an act of trust and give yourself to God for this night. And we don't even make them do anything else but rest on that first night. And we've come to realize that they can't even take much teaching on that first night because they're too tired to take in anything. And then the next day they have stories to tell about having slept better than they've ever slept before because they understood that they were doing it at God's invitation.
Hmm. You describe self-examination as the practice of bringing my whole self before God. What exactly do you mean by that?
It means bringing both the good and the bad. And some of us have troubles with one and some of us have trouble with the other. Some of us are so used to not thinking very highly of ourselves that we're really embarrassed by the goodness of our creation. And Psalm 139, where the psalmist actually celebrates his creation and says, I praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, that you knew me while my body was still being formed in my mother's womb. And that I know very well, that I'm one of the great works of creation. Sometimes on a retreat, I'll ask people if they would be willing or able to say something about themselves that they can celebrate. And most people are extremely uncomfortable with any sense of celebrating the goodness of who they are as a created being in God's presence. Then, of course, all of us have trouble with the darker parts of ourselves and bringing those places of ourselves that are sinful or maybe just unfinished or broken or wounded or that confuse us. And again, Psalm 139 is a wonderful place in Scripture because the psalmist, after he celebrates God's presence with him, celebrates God's unconditional love, celebrates his created goodness, then there's this place in Psalm 139 where he lets all this anger and loathing just kind of flow out. And you're kind of stunned because you say, what are those awful, awful words, those angry emotions doing in the middle of this beautiful psalm? Well, I think that's the continuation of this being all that I am in God's presence. David was so safe in God's presence that he was able to say, okay, this stuff I'm not so sure about. This is kind of ugly. This is kind of dark. But you know what? I don't even know. I don't know if it's good or bad. I don't know if this is righteous indignation. I don't know if this is wickedness. And then he lets it all come vomiting out. And then he says to God, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So he's saying to God, I don't really know what's good and what's bad within me. So I'm going to let all this come out in your presence. And then I'm asking you to help me to know. And in those places where it is wickedness, only you can lead me in a new way. Only you can lead me in a more life-giving path. And that's really the process of self-examination.
That makes a lot of sense. Don't think that your woundedness is the truest thing about you. The most authentic part of any person is his or her longing for God.
Yes.
Great. We'll take a break. We're coming right back. When we come back, I want to talk to you about Sabbath. It seems like it's an old tradition, but it seems like this may be something that can heal people, heal their families, their marriages, if they would just take the Sabbath. So let's talk about that when we come back. Don't go away. More to come on Homeward.
Great conversation today here on the Homeward broadcast. So glad you have joined us, whether you're listening to us on terrestrial radio, as they say, or streaming audio at homeward.com, or podcasting along with us, one of the tens of thousands of podcasters who enjoy the Homeward broadcast each and every day. You're listening to parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns and his continuing conversation with Dr. Ruth Haley Barton. We're talking about arranging your life and finding calm in the midst of chaos. So many folks write to us and let us know that Homeward is kind of that calm in the midst of the storm, kind of helps you recalibrate before the kids come home from school. Or maybe at the end of the day, you have a chance to get them to bed and you and your spouse, husband or wife, can listen to the Homeward programming. Remember, Homeward's here for you 24/7 at homeward.com, so check us out online. And now, once again, here's Jim.
Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Ruth Haley Barton. What a privilege to have Ruth in studio with us. We're talking about arranging your life for spiritual transformation. That changes everything. She's a spiritual director, a teacher, retreat leader, has been very influential in my life. Her writings have really made a difference for me, and I appreciate it because it's the real deal, and yet it is what we all want, a longing to be more intimate with God. Ruth, right before the break, I mentioned the word Sabbath, and you know, it seems to be more popular today within Christian circles, but we really don't have the Sabbath that the Jews have, and actually even some other religions. Jesus stayed true to the Sabbath.
Yes.
And the Sabbath is something that really changes, and you've got a chapter in your book that says establishing rhythms of work and rest. Rhythms of work and rest. It seems like for many of us, we just say, you know what, we work. And I said to somebody the other day, I said, I come home from work and then I work more because I'm trying to help with the dishes and, you know, all that kind of good stuff. And then I've kind of fallen to bed. But what you're saying is be proactive about taking time where you rest with God.
Yeah, and the whole idea of Sabbath, it is rooted in the person of God, you know, that God himself rested after his creation. And then this whole idea of a rhythm of work and rest is built into our creation. Like, you know that when you plant fields that you need to give time for fruitfulness and then time for dormancy. Otherwise, the ground just becomes unfruitful because it loses everything because it's just being used for productivity all the time. And there are many other examples from nature about this whole rhythm of fruitfulness and dormancy and rest and work. We as human beings, and especially in a technological age, we could work all the time. And in fact, that's what a lot of people are doing. And it's really becoming, I think, devastatingly difficult for people in business and others because now there are no rhythms at all that are in our culture. Now people are on 7 days a week. They have their technology strapped to their bodies. They're expected in many cases, in many vocations, to be available 7 days a week. We can check our voicemails and our emails from anywhere. Nobody goes on real vacations anymore where they literally are not available for a week. There's some sort of unnamed expectation that, well, you'll at least check your emails a couple times, won't you? Or you'll at least have a cell phone with you, won't you? Right. And so we as a culture, we don't have any rhythms at all around working and resting. And yet, this particular rhythm really does correspond to a deep human need, and that deep human need is the need to live within human limitation. And I think as a culture, we're in a very dangerous place right now in terms of really not living within human limitations at all.
Isn't it interesting? The worst thing may be that we are going to be so dangerously tired, so exhausted, that we don't have relationships with our family and also to God.
Yeah, and overstimulated too. Yeah. It's not just about being dangerously tired. There's an overstimulation that makes it very hard for people to rest, even when the time is given for them to rest or to be quiet. they find that they're not able to do it because their RPMs are just going so fast, and they're so used to, especially the younger generation, they're so used to being stimulated all the time that not being stimulated in a moment is something right. that's a very frightening experience.
Right. You used a word earlier in your book, and I just actually opened it here, and the word is a soul, well, it's actually words, a soul-numbing sadness comes when we realize that a certain quality of life and quality of presence is slipping away.
Yeah.
And I went, that's the American world right now.
Yeah, a picture of that for me was one spring, a very spectacular spring in Chicago, which is where I live. And we struggle with weather in Chicago. You know, we don't get a lot of nice weather. So this was a beautiful, beautiful spring day. And I saw three people out walking. One person was with a child, one person was walking a dog, and one person was by themselves. And all three of those people were on cell phones. Mm-hmm. A person walking with their child, a person walking their dog, and a person who was walking alone who could have been just present to God and enjoying nature. And that was such a picture to me of what's happened in our culture, because there used to be moments that were Sabbath moments, moments of being disconnected and allowing ourselves to rest on a number of different levels. And because of technology and other dynamics, people just are not giving themselves those kinds of moments at all.
Well, let's get practical on this. We want to do a Sabbath. Somebody right. wants to do a Sabbath. What do you do in a Sabbath?
Well, there's what you don't do first.
Okay.
On a Sabbath, there's what you don't do and there's what you do.
That's good.
And
you don't walk with your cell phone with your kids and the dog.
That's right. That's right. On the Sabbath, we choose to exclude things that are associated with work. And so I encourage people to think very concretely, what constitutes work for me? What takes me into that work, into that productivity and that activistic mode? For me, computers really take me to a whole nother place because I work a lot on computers with my writing. For other people, anything having to do with their life in vocation, checking emails, checking business phones, even things like mowing the lawn. You know, what constitutes work for me? What pushes me to that place of needing to be productive and keeps that part of me stimulated? So we exclude those things that have to do with work and that put us in that activistic mode. We exclude those things that have to do with consumerism and buying and selling. And I know this is controversial. It used to be that that was built into the rhythm of our culture, that Sundays were a day when the whole culture shut down. Well, that's no longer true. So now we have to make choices around that. But the truth is that buying and selling, if I choose to buy something, it means somebody else is having to work. It also means that the consumer part of me, which needs a rest, never gets to rest. And we in our culture really need to allow the consumer part of us to rest, because part of the purpose of Sabbath is to help us to delight in God's good gifts to us. And consumerism doesn't help us do that. Consumerism makes us discontented with what we have, and it keeps us overstimulated. So I encourage people to consider excluding anything that has to do with buying and selling. And then I also encourage people to exclude anything that has to, that incites worry and mental strain within them, because there's more than one way to be tired. And we are mentally tired, and there are those things that kind of stir up our mental anxieties and keep us working very hard intellectually. So I really encourage people to exclude activities that incite worry in them. So working on budgets or taxes or making wedding plans or talking with your spouse about those subjects that really do create stress within you. My husband and I, we know what some of those topics are, and we just don't talk about them on the Sabbath because we're resting our whole selves on the Sabbath.
I like what you said. You talk about resting the body, replenishing the spirit, and restoring the soul. And we need that after a busy week.
Yes, and that gives you categories for what to do on the Sabbath. You do those things that rest and delight your body. And that might be taking a walk or going boating or working with paints or eating really good foods that you love, taking a nap on the couch in the sun, replenishing the spirit. What is it that delights your spirit? And can you think really concretely about that and critically? Usually, a whole lot of television or technology does not really replenish the spirit. It deadens the spirit. Art, music, poetry, sitting and talking quietly with a friend, nature, all of those things deeply replenish the spirit. So what replenishes your spirit? And put things in your day that replenish your spirit. Being with your family, nothing like being with your children, you know, to replenish the spirit and your spouse. And then, that which nourishes the soul. And that, of course, has to do with worship. It has to do with the part of us that reaches out for God. And that's the part that gets lost during the week. So the Sabbath gives us this invitation to create a little bit more space for what's more soulish about us, that part of us that longs for God. So to have a little bit of extra time for quiet in God's presence, to take a slow meditative walk, to journal a little bit more, to look back on the week and see where God's presence was with me and to celebrate that and be grateful in God's presence. worship music. You know, what draws my heart out to God, certainly your church community, to do that in such a way. And I really am encouraging churches these days to consider how they use their Sundays. Is the church helping people to find Sabbath, or is the church loading all of their activities into the Sabbath, into Sundays, so that it's only a day of Christian busyness? Now we're not busy in the culture, but we're just full of Christian busyness, committee meetings, elder meetings, youth groups, small groups, everything, you know? I think churches really do need to think about how they're helping their people to move into a Sabbath practice on Sundays.
That makes a lot of sense. I wish we had more time we could cover it. I appreciate so much you being as practical as you've been. Not legalistic, just a great message here. Thanks for being with us.
It's been great to be here.
Well, we'll throw the greats around once more and say thanks for a great conversation today. Dr. Jim Burns and Dr. Ruth Haley Barton here on the Homeward Broadcast. So glad that you have joined us for this very important program, Arrange Your Life, Finding Calm in the Midst of Chaos. Ruth Haley Barton has written a number of books on this topic that Dr. Jim Burns highly recommends, Invitation to Solitude and Silence, Sacred Rhythm, just two of those resources. And we encourage you to learn more about them. You can find out more online. Visit us at homeward.com. Stop by your favorite Christian bookstore and do that. But Jim mentioned at the outset, it's always a pleasure to have someone like Dr. Ruth Haley Barton in the studio with us, because the conversations are always so rich and they're always so practical. Good time here in the studio again today.
She has great insight. I remember the first time I met her, it was at a conference I was speaking at, she was speaking at, and I was just enamored with the power of her message.
Yeah.
And again, it's on spiritual transformation, and it helps every aspect of our life. I love the concept of developing sacred rhythms. I think it's a great way to put it. I know that in my own life, if I don't keep up with those sacred rhythms, I'm not sure I've used that term before, then I'm not nearly as effective with the Lord. And it's going to affect my relationship with Kathy. It's going to affect my relationship with my kids, my body, you know, what I would call my primary relationships, along with my relationship with God. I wanted to share something that I do. Now, there's a lot of things that I don't do well. But if I am being disciplined with my time with God, if I'm being disciplined in kind of the physical side and certain other aspects of my life, these rhythms, if I can get in rhythm, it seems like everything else is put into place.
Right.
I've mentioned this before, but about 20 years ago, I said, Lord, I'm going to give you 20 minutes a day. Today, actually, I was reading my Bible and I realized I was on the right day for the one-year Bible. And that has become a habit for me. And a lot of times, I don't remember what I ate last Monday, but it nourishes me for this day.
Right.
So what I do is I do this one-year Bible, and it was really hard at the beginning to get started. I mean, my goodness, in December, I would read, you know, months worth because I was missing so many times. And there are still times when I miss it and I just make it up. It's a little easier now. And then I write Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And I know I've shared this before, but that is a part of my spiritual rhythm. If somebody would say to me, you know, Jim, are you going through your one-year Bible and are you journaling every day? If I'm not, I'm a mess.
Right.
And yet there are times even today where I didn't have a big breakthrough when it came to doing it, but I just proactively did it. I took the scripture that I had read and I wrote some under adoration, you know, that spoke scripture back to the Lord. I confessed some sins. I thank God for several things and I ask him for some stuff. And it's a simple act, but it is a spiritual rhythm. And I'm challenging people today to find their spiritual rhythm. Now, they don't even have to do it for 20 minutes. Some would do it for longer, obviously, but it could start with just a very short spending time with God on a daily basis. And I think it affects all the aspects of our life. And it's crucial that we incorporate a certain measure of self-care as we deal with this.
Very, very important issue to think about, and it's not selfish, as Dr. Jim Burns has mentioned often. Self-care is definitely not selfish. Homeward is here to equip you, to give you some of those self-care resources. Go to homeward.com and check out our articles and media section. Check out the Good Advice Parent newsletter. Hey, how about starting your day with a little nugget of encouragement from God's Word, courtesy of Dr. Jim Burns and the Homeward staff. Our daily online devotional, we call it our e-votional. More than 25,000 of these go out each and every day. And it's a great way to start your day, kind of get your spiritual focus, but it doesn't take a long time. So if you think you're strapped for time, don't have time to do daily Bible study, this is a good way to do that. Now, for more information on how you can start your free subscription, go to homeward.com. If you're not there already, follow the prompts. It's absolutely free and very, very beneficial when you go to homeward.com.
Well, thank you so much for investing a half hour of your time today with us here on Homeward. We're here for you each day to help you with resources like free articles and tip sheets and this daily radio broadcast. You know, for more than 20 years, the aim of the ministry here at Homeward has been encouraging parents and building families, and your financial partnership plays a huge role in helping us do so. If you can help with a gift to support Homeward, I'd very much appreciate it right now. And hearing from you as soon as possible, you can go to our website at homeward.com. You can also mail your checks to Homeward. We are not a ministry that does a lot of begging for money, but this is the time of the year where we could really
use your partnership and your help. And I want to say, as the president of Homeward, that this money goes to really go out and help parents. Nobody here in this place is making a whole lot of money, but we are committed to changing lives for eternity. Now, until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thank you for listening today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.